Welcome back to Happy Hour. I'm Joby.
I'm Curtis. And I guess we're getting ready for the end of the world.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on podcast, obviously it's not the end of the world.
It's not going to make any sense to you at all, yeah. I guess. Well, I've been closely following this because I've put off Christmas shopping just on the off chance that the world was going to come to an end. So if my kids are listening tonight, I'm going shopping tomorrow, so don't fret if we wake up tomorrow morning and I'm sitting in the living room having a cup of coffee. We know everything's going to be okay, I guess.
Yeah, well, all this nonsense about the end of the world kind of made me think of a good question. If you could have one last thing, Curtis, or one last, I don't know, I think you mentioned a few things, but an apocalyptic drink, what would that be?
That's almost too hard for me to pick just one, I think.
You only get one.
Only one. Well, it's going to be a beer, but what beer is it going to be? And there's just too many. Probably, I'm guessing that if I had my choice, I'd go with one of the best sours I've ever had, which is by a brewery called New Glarus, which beer geeks are going to know out of Wisconsin, and you can only get that beer if you're inside the state lines. And they had a Flanders Red called Enigma, which is just, it blew my mind the first time I had it. And it quickly made its way to the best beer that I've ever had.
So that's your apocalyptic drink.
I think that, yeah. And because they don't make it anymore, I'm going to be SOL, I'm pretty sure. But so I can keep dreaming, though, I guess. What about you?
Wow, it's actually, you're right, it is a tough one to narrow down to one. I mean, I would definitely like to drink something. I know that. I don't care what it is. I would have to get something for the end of the world. You got to have a drink if everyone's going down and we're all going away. But I think it would be a scotch I'd like to get my hands on, maybe some really rare single malt scotch that, you know, who cares how much it costs because we're all going to die anyways.
That could be
a Macallan 50-year-old or something that's ridiculous, like,
right,
$20,000 a bottle. Who cares?
Yeah, that would go over pretty nice too.
Yeah, that could be one way.
That would smooth the pain for sure. Well, I was looking at the time zones, and there's already been somewhere in the neighborhood of like 15 time zone changes where there's plenty of people already tomorrow, you know. So unless the Mayans are picking the central time zone or maybe the Pacific time zone, I guess. So we still have a few more hours to go, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be good when it's January and all this 12-12, 12-21, all this nonsense is behind us.
Well, what is Facebook going to do? what are people going to do with their time if they can't find pictures of the Earth exploding or Oreo cookies that look like the Mayan calendar? I mean, really.
Hey, that was pretty interesting. I didn't realize there were so many little things on the Oreo cookie.
I know. I just put it in milk and then I throw it back. So I'm kind of in the same boat with you too.
But yeah. And earlier today we speaking of good beers and you were talking about sours, we got a chance to have that New Belgium La Folie, which was my first time having it. And you've had it before, but
I've had it a couple times. Yeah.
It's a really good. Really reminds me of Rodenbach and just really nice sour, like you said, over the top sourness coming from that one. So right. That was good. I like to call that my beer of the week for this week.
Yeah, that's and that's on tap right now. It's the 101st over at the Barrel House.
That is their 101st one. In.
And so it's a small keg. Get over there. But the first time I had that beer was early on. I was a fledgling craft brewer, and I'd been homebrewing for, boy, I don't know, maybe a year or two tops. And that was the most outrageous beer I'd ever had. It just completely blew my world, and not in a good way at that point in my life. I mean, I passed on it, and so I feel kind of guilty right now about not enjoying that beer as much as I do now. But whenever I can get a 750, you know, I'll put it in my beer cellar for a while, you know, until you got a special occasion that comes up.
Well, they say the sours are acquired taste for sure. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's almost there's nothing that I can't handle. You know, I'll take a Berliner Weiss, I'll take an unblended lambic, and enjoy them for all of their, I don't know, vinegary, sour, acetobacter, whatever it is. You know, going yeah. that we all love. I had a really great story about the first time I went to New Belgium Brewery, and if you haven't been there, Fort Collins, Colorado. It was the day after Thanksgiving, and I went with my wife's uncle. We left early in the morning. We were in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We drove down, got there right as it opened, and there was nobody there except for there was a rep there that was celebrating, who was from Fort Collins, was celebrating Thanksgiving with the family. Looked like he'd already been there for 2 or 3 hours, maybe, as happy as he was to greet someone else at the tasting room. And then he ended up taking us on a tour of the place and behind the scenes, like through the where they've got the folders, the giant wood barrels where they're aging everything.
Right.
He took us like by the windows of the chem, so at least he had that much with him that he didn't take us through the chem lab, you know, right. and totally destroy whatever it was they were getting, but. It was just fantastic, you know, walking through that state of the art where everything is wind, methane, and powered. And
yeah, I think they're 100%, if I'm not mistaken, them in Sierra Nevada are like almost 100% sustainable, self-sustained, make their own power, water, everything.
Right, and their boil kettles aren't actually boil kettles. It runs down a cone, and they throw the hops in with it, and the hops are isomerized right there in the wort as it's going over in a real thin cascade down these things, and it's just incredible. So the amount of energy I use just on a 15 gallon homebrew batch
right.
is probably more than what they're spending on 300 gallons of beer.
Yeah, well, it is the holidays, Curtis, right? So
sure,
we have James here from Vittura Limoncello. He's kind of hiding on the side here, but it makes me think of holiday cocktails, holiday drinks. What do you like to drink this time of year? What's, you know, everybody has something they just kind of really like to go to on the holidays. What's yours?
Well, I like Bailey's.
Nice.
I like to sit down on Christmas morning with a little glass of Bailey's and just kind of sip. That's kind of about where I go. I love the creamy, just the creamy goodness of it, I guess. What about you?
I like scotch, single malt scotch. This is the time of year for it. Always have something open at the house. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, definitely reach for a scotch. And the real stouty, really, really just kind of like imperial stouts. I really like them this time of year. It's nice. I saw you posted the beer nog recipe, and that really caught my interest there. It's I've never had eggnog with beer. That sounded really good.
Well, yeah, so go to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis Facebook page, and you'll see the link to the beer nog, and I made it for the first time, made eggnog for the first time last night, and there is a lot of egg in whole milk and cream and everything else, and you know, if you're averse to raw eggs, then this probably isn't the thing for you, but right. I used a homebrew stout on that, and really nice roasty flavors in it. We were talking earlier, you had some
Stone Imperial Russian Stout or Ale Smith Speedway Stout, just mm-hmm. kicking up the alcohol a little more, you know, more closer to that brandy, cognac, you know, rum. I like mine with rum.
Right, you get a, you know, get up closer to 12 or 14%, right. and mine was at 8%, so it was pretty, I don't know if there was enough alcohol in that to kill any bugs that were floating around, but I'm here today, so it's all good.
No, you're fine.
Right. Yeah. So give that one a shot. It was a fun thing to do, and it's if you've got a mixer, you can do it. So, there's no kitchen skills needed, really.
Oh, right. Just need to mix it up in there.
Right.
It sounded really good. I mean, it's so much fun this time of year with all the drinks and the different cocktails and just all the different great stuff you can do. And just, I find myself reaching for the darker, the heavier stuff. It's really cold outside, so you got to have something, you know, you got to have something to warm you up.
I know, and anyone who's listening outside of, say, Ventura is just going to laugh at us, but it has been a cold and windy couple of days, and we're all just kind of huddled in here, too. So, I just took my stocking cap off for the first time in 3 days just to put my headphones on, but otherwise, it has been kind of chilly.
Yeah, that's definitely the really cool thing about all these drinks and seasonal, you know, we used to talk about that. I never knew what that meant when I was younger, but there's the seasonal drinks and transitioning in, you got, when spring comes around, you reach for those different lighter things, summer ales, summer cocktails. It's so much fun. It just, since we don't have real seasons here, I mark them by the cocktails. Is that bad?
No, I think you're onto something. And really, if there isn't a calendar for something like that,
right,
you've got maybe the market on it. I mean, that would sell, and especially in my household, that would be up on the refrigerator. I mean, we'd be looking at that every morning. Okay, what is it that we're doing this evening? You know, and that'd be good. That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah, the four seasons of drinking.
Oh, well, let's not even break it into that. I mean, let's spread it out throughout every month. I mean, I think a daily beverage suggestion would be appropriate. So, well, it looks like we're getting ready to head on to the first break here.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk cocktails with James when we get back.
Right, we've got, and I want to make sure that I'm pronouncing right, limoncello. Very good.
That's very Joby, Italian of you. Nice.
Joby was giving me some directions because I kept saying limoncello. No, it's limoncello. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's where I need to say it because it's just fun to say it that way too. So before we go to break, everyone go to share our Facebook announcement so that all of your friends are listening in too. So we've got 75 likes right now. Let's get a bunch more here this evening. So share that you're listening to us, and we'll catch you on the flip side with James.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Little Lup, where have you been?
Naughty, naughty.
Hey, that's right. Out of naughty you. Keeping me from my rounds. I'm late as it is. Now stay put. Don't go anywhere till I get back. Understand me?
Nice.
So one of my favorite parts of this is, he freaks out with Santa in his yard, turns around and finds his wallet on there with a million of cold hundreds of G. I'm like, this is the best. And then Santa let him keep it. I mean, Merry Christmas.
That really put me in the spirit right there.
All right.
That was an awesome song. Well, welcome back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. We got James Carlin here from Ventura Limoncello.
Limoncello. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you taking the time to have me on with you guys today. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I've been so stoked for this. I mean, I have just a little bit of wine experience and a whole lot of beer experience. I don't have hardly any liqueur experience. So I am so stoked to learn and just be schooled, and I'm going to enjoy every little sip that I can get. Great.
Yeah, what is limoncello?
Well, let's start with limoncello, and as you brought up, liqueurs in general. I mean, liqueurs, by nature, they're either known as cordial or liqueurs. They're a very, very broad category in the liquor world. They encompass everything from, you mentioned earlier, Bailey's. Bailey's is a cordial liqueur. Grand Marnier, Cointreau, Chambord, Kahlua, Jägermeister, all of these fall into the same category as limoncello does.
That's crazy. Evidently, I've had plenty of experience. Yeah, you've had plenty of
I just didn't know what it was.
You were just taking shots. So.
That's right.
So limoncello is a lemon liqueur. It's traditionally produced in southern Italy along the Amalfi Coast. It's been made there well over 100 years. Unlike beer, which kind of has its roots traced to monks in a monastery type of thing, there really is no direct someone created limoncello out of that region. It just kind of happened. Mm. There are stories whether it was the Olive Capri or a Contessa in Naples, but there really is no hard evidence as to the first evidence of limoncello being produced. But in Europe, these types of liqueurs, Amaros, limoncello, Sambuca, Ouzo in Greece and others, they're after dinner liqueurs. And in Europe, they're known as digestivos. They aid in digestion. However, the United States liquor laws state that there are no health benefits to liquor. Therefore, we can't call it a digestivo. So we don't. We call it a palate cleanser. So it's traditionally a nice, chilled after-dinner palate cleanser.
Yeah, I did notice these are definitely chilled. You know, you brought these.
Brought them cold, absolutely. The term limoncello is like saying beer, vodka. There's many different brands. There's over 50 brands of limoncello produced worldwide. There's, I think, 6 countries now that have some form of commercial limoncello production. Italy is by far the most, being the birthplace. The United States is coming up on second. We were the second domestically produced limoncello and the first in SoCal. We use only Ventura County lemons, hence our name, Ventura Limoncello. We work direct with our growers to source all of our fruit. And we bring them into our facility here in town and process it into a finished liqueur. As I mentioned, traditionally served chilled, so you just sip on that, usually after meal. But what you'll find, hopefully, is with our flavor, it's so lemon-forward that the mixology that has really taken our brand to whole new places. Most European styles are a little on the more bitter side, a little drier, a little bitter. They like their bitters. Amaros are quite bitter.
Right.
Sambuca, even though it's sweet, has that kind of bitter.
Yeah, Campari, I think.
Campari, absolutely. Like Campari and Aperol, very, very bitter and dry.
Right.
So while ours might be a little sweeter than that traditional, it's not the candy sweet you get with some of the commercially produced brands, and that's really what lends itself to mixology. I heard you guys talking about some of the earlier cocktails and things. My New Year's Eve drink is the Limosa. A little champagne, sparkling wine with a shot of Ventura Limoncello in it.
So, anywhere specific in Ventura that you want to give a shout out to where you get your lemons or?
Basically we work with two of the growers, the Petty Ranch out in East Ventura, and the Limonera Company in Santa Paula. Both of these families, and Limonera is a family owned company, have been growing lemons for generations here in Ventura County. Limonera is one of the oldest farms in the county as well, and they are the largest lemon producer in the United States. A lot of people don't realize that. They know we have lemons, they know we have strawberries and other crops here, but our county produces over 80% of all lemons produced in the United States.
Crazy.
That's perfect backyard for Ventura Limoncello.
That's the beauty, right? And that's awesome. That's why we formed it. That's why we named it Ventura Limoncello. What we didn't know 5 years ago when we launched this brand was that, unlike wineries and breweries, the state of California doesn't allow liquor companies to have tasting rooms or sell direct to consumers. Right. So that's been a little bit of a challenge for us as a hard liquor distilled spirit brand.
Okay.
But we've got a lot of great people that support us here in town. Joby carries it at Barrel House 101 over there, as well as up at the store in Ojai, and has for many years. Good seller, I'm assuming, up there.
It's been great to see you. I was telling Curtis earlier, it's been great to see you coming in, hand selling when you first, you're still hand selling out there, but just great to see you going from that hand selling, like right out of your truck, let me get you a case, to now. I've really seen it in LA. And can you tell us some of the places you're in?
Yeah, it's great. I mean,
cities.
We are now actually 11 states.
That's awesome.
We blew out California a couple of years ago. We were fortunate enough to get picked up by one of the large distributors in the state, Young's Mark Company. They've really helped us get into San Diego, San Francisco, places we could never get into coming out of here, just from a delivery standpoint, sales and delivery. So that's really been beneficial to us. So there's over 800 stores and restaurants in just in our own state that carry our brand now. And we opened up last year Arizona and Alaska. And then this year, we really just were focusing on new markets. We got New York, New Jersey, just opened Connecticut this month, Missouri and Illinois within the last 60 days. Nevada was this past summer, Hawaii, and Oregon. So we're starting to get the name Ventura out there.
That's great. Did I hear something about international?
We did send a special order.
If you can't talk about it.
It's fine. No, we're actually looking for export. We're working with a couple agents that are trying to do that. But we did send a special order shipment out to Hong Kong.
That's amazing.
From a guy who was opening a restaurant, he discovered our brand. He had to have it for his opening day. And so we made that happen for him.
That's really cool.
All right. Can you kind of walk back just a little bit? Let's talk about kind of how you came to found the company.
Sure.
And start this brand. You know, even it when I was kind of reading through the bio, and you come from a family of just gastronomic, sort of the people who love to eat, drink, mm-hmm. and all that. So if you can kind of touch on all those and then just kind of bring us up to how that led to this venture.
Absolutely. It's really the product of Ventura Limoncello liqueurs really come from my wife's side of the business. My wife, Manuela, is my business partner and life partner. And we run this company and manage everything together. Like most good Italian families, we were making this limoncello at home for well over 10 years. When we were first married, we had a lemon tree on our deck in our townhome, and my mother-in-law came over, and there were some lemons on that tree, and she said, "Oh, it's time to make limoncello." And even though I'm an Italian-American from the East Coast, I had not heard of limoncello prior to getting involved with my wife's family. And I watched her meticulously hand peel these lemons, and we went out and bought some Everclear
and nice.
Soaked it in, and then she mixed it up. And I'll tell you, I was blown away the first time. We've never not had limoncello in our home ever since. We make two styles of limoncello. We were making those at home, the originale, which is what you're sipping on now. It's the classic Italian style. And then we also do a cream liqueur, speaking of holiday, wintery cream liqueurs, limoncello crema, just made with whole milk.
Oh.
So think of a lemon creamsicle in its texture and taste. Unfortunately, I don't have any of that with me this evening.
I've been lucky enough to have it. We had a bottle at home.
Great. That's excellent. So, for 10 years, we're chugging along making this, and we used to crack it out at parties. We love to entertain, and our friends started asking us for it when they would invite us over. They'd say, "Hey, can you bring some of the limoncello with you?" My career prior to this was completely something different. We were not in the liquor industry in any way, shape, or form. My background was operations, IT, inventory, marketing, just all kinds of things. Everything that really helps work.
Yeah, I'm sure that's come in handy.
It's all come in handy. But the firm I was with was acquired, and the new management was taking the brand in a direction I truly didn't believe in. And as a senior executive, you just have to say enough's enough, and I did. And I came home and said to my wife, "It's time to move on. Been in this career over 20 years, been with that firm 7 years at the time. Let's do something together. Let's build a family business." And so here we are.
All right.
The brand was released in 2008.
So you've your wife's family is from
Rome.
From Rome, and then your family before what New York? Then before that was
Abruzzo region of Italy, which is the region east of Rome.
Okay, so then you were saying that limoncello is the Amalfi Coast, and so on. Once you get inward toward or inland towards Rome, then that's when you kind of get out of that market.
You don't, because now it's actually the second most popular the cure in all of Italy. So it's no longer where families aren't aware of it. Mm-hmm. You know, my family emigrated back around, you know, the early 1900s, around when limoncello was first being produced. So okay. they wouldn't have had any knowledge of it because it really hadn't come out of Naples. But in this era, everyone in Italy, it's on every supermarket shelf, and a lot of people make it at home.
All right.
Yeah, and we were talking about that earlier. You can make it at home, but take us through the process of when you're making it.
Sure.
And what's different about...
Well, one of the key things is the quality of the lemons. I mean, that's one of the things that we're fortunate working with the growers we have. They hand-pick the fruit specifically for us, for size and color and ripeness. So we get fruit that we've worked with them to tell them this is what we want. Being a manufacturer, we can actually work with 190 proof pure American grain.
Wow.
And in California, which you can't get.
Is that
legally,
95% alcohol?
95% pure.
Wow.
And that is, you know, our supplier for that is just it's just a clean, neutral spirit, and we really think that comes through in this product. When you don't get that harsh
burn, not at all.
A lot of liqueurs, you get a nice smooth alcohol mm-hmm. finish. You know, I hate to say it, but the city of Ventura water is pretty good, mm-hmm. at least for making limoncello. We don't do any reverse osmosis or Kangen or anything crazy like that. We just filter the water for you know, minimal filtering, and it's good stuff.
It must be all those minerals and
I guess
stuff
so.
In the water.
Yeah, I didn't realize
it's definitely
we
hard
have
water.
Three right. aquifers in the city of Ventura. If we ever moved our facility, I'd have to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So you're essentially drawing out all the essence
oils,
of the of
all the
oils.
Oils exactly. We only use the peel, and we hand peel all the fruit.
Oh wow!
When the fruit comes in, we scrub it down and we hand peel, and it's a labor of love,
mm-hmm.
but it ensures that you're not going to get any of the white pith.
Okay.
You only want that top layer of fruit to pull for the alcohol to pull the oils out of. There's a lot of commercially produced brands that use machines to peel lemons. Well, machines can't tell the difference between yellow and white. They're going to be set to a gauge.
Hmm.
Each piece of fruit is different. I mean, there's no way around that. So they're either going to pick up some white or they're not going to get deep enough. And, you know, there's like a lot of commercially produced things. There's, you know, artificial colors and essences and other flavorings sometimes. Like everything in life, read labels. Even in liquor, read your mm-hmm. labels. You know, that's you want to look for it. We do a handwritten batch number on the back of every bottle, and that just kind of goes. So we bottle every week. I mean, that's the beauty. We grow lemons year round. We make this fresh in small batches all year round. We don't rely on harvests. You know, like wine, where you got to
right.
wait for that crush. And
once a year, that's it.
Work your butt off to get all that fruit in and in the tanks and fermenting. I don't have to worry about that. I get fruit whenever I want. If I want more fruit, I get more fruit. If we're, you know, not selling too much and the warehouse is full, I back off a little bit.
So when on an average sort of shipment of lemons,
mm-hmm.
Are you talking several hundred pounds? Are you talking a ton?
We're not into tons yet. We actually work in pieces, piece counts. We don't work with weight. We do use specific sizes so that we can talk to the growers mm-hmm. about what we're looking at there. Basically, we peel about 2,000 pieces of fruit a week.
I have
no idea what that means in weight. We never weighed them. We just work them. So.
And did I, so this, the alcohol that you're using, the base alcohol, mm-hmm. did I miss that it's a grain alcohol? That's
a grain alcohol made from corn.
Okay.
So it's a gluten-free base. It's not a sugar cane ethanol. It's actually a corn. And, like I said, it's so clean. It's just so smooth. We're very, very happy with that product.
Right. And your final product is it
29%, 58 proof, which I say where a good liqueur should be, because you want to keep this bottle in the freezer, right next to the vodka. They do play nice together in there.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, and that was, you know, talking about the Limosa earlier. I mean, the lemon drops, margaritas. I mean, it's lemon. It goes with everything. If you like a quality vodka, just do a little float. Liquid lemon twist, we call that.
Mm.
You know, instead of putting a little lemon in there, throw a little Ventura limoncello. We do the two styles. As I mentioned, we've really wanted to expand the line. So in 2011, we decided to release our third line extension of liqueur. And we wanted to do an orange cello. There are other orange cello brands out there on the market. But we wanted to do something unique. We didn't want to just do a Valencia or a Navel. And so we looked at what else was grown in the county, and we decided to go with a blood orange. And So we released Ventura Orange Cello Blood Orange Liqueur back in 2011. Unlike lemons, which grow year-round, orange blood oranges are seasonal here in Ventura. So it is a specialty product. We get what we get, we make what we make, and when it's gone, it's gone. Luckily, we've made enough to hold for several months, but the last of the blood orange just went to the distributors this month,
okay.
And we won't be bottling again, we hope, till March. It really depends on the trees. So whatever's in the stores is out there, please go get some.
James, this smells amazing.
Well, that's the beauty. I mean, there's no mistaking a blood orange. They have such a unique aroma and bite, and that really comes through in the liqueur. There's so many people who just feel this is even far superior to the Limoncello Originale that we make. And to go back on that, you know, we released Limoncello Originale in 2008. We got our first batch out just in time to enter the San Francisco World Spirits Competition in 2008. And we didn't know anything about competitions. We didn't know if it was like ice skating where you had to have your brand out for a little while and gain a little respect, and then you might get an honorable mention or a medal. It's not like that, if we found out, luckily. We took the gold medal. We were the top Limoncello that year in 2008 out of five brands that were entered, all imported brands.
Very nice.
And that just really just showed the quality that we're making here in Ventura County. We backed that up with another gold medal in 2011 with the Ventura Limoncello Originale. The Orange Cello Blood Orange we entered in 2011 as well, being a new product, it beat the Limoncello. This was the double gold best fruit liqueur in the entire competition.
Nice. And that was, I remember seeing through Facebook that, was that in Las Vegas? Is that where? Or?
No, it was the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Okay. And that's a very, very well-respected international spirits competition. Okay. So we were stoked. I mean, it was just unbelievable to get that kind of response on our initial release of this product.
Right.
So we have some new ideas coming out next year, we hope. You know, like everything, when you're dealing with a highly regulated industry, there's formulas that have to get approved and labels that have to get approved. But Manuela went into lab mode, as I like to say, last year for some more line extensions, and she's got some winners coming out, guys. I'll tell you, just be ready. Can't say right now for competitive reasons.
Yeah, that's fine.
But be ready. There's going to be some special stuff coming
out. If you need a guinea pig again, I got to try a couple of your.
Yeah, you tried our strawberry cream.
The strawberry was insane.
I'm telling you, the strawberry cream is crazy good. And we grow a lot of strawberries here, but it just doesn't look well in the bottle.
Yeah, it doesn't so well.
If the consumers will be turned off by that, even though it will taste great. But that's where not having a tasting room really hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But James, I've heard you mention that. And Curtis and I mean, we both were talking about you definitely are an advocate for the distillers. Mm-hmm. I know you sit on the board.
Yep. The California Artisanal Distillers Guild, a recently formed trade group. There's over 20 of us now that there's over 15 states have changed their laws in the last 5 years to allow their artisan distillers to have tasting rooms and sell direct to consumers. It helps market the brands. Mm-hmm. It helps get the awareness out that ultimately helps everyone up and down the chain, from the distributors to sell and market more products, to the retailers. You know, when you go to a winery, you get a wine, you enjoy it. You go to a brewery, you take the beer. But when you go home, where are you going to get it?
Right.
You're going to get it from the store. You're going to get it from the local, you know, the restaurant that you shop. You're going to ask them to carry it. So it really does help everyone up and down the chain.
Right. So the way it sits now, you can't have a tasting room.
Current laws do not allow us to have that. So we're hoping a bill will be introduced in 2013. And I think we're going to have some form of crowdfunding for the California Artisanal Distillers Guild. If anyone wants to help make a donation to help get that law changed, just look for our Facebook page.
Yeah,
it's Ventura Limoncello, LIMONCELLO, and also VenturaLimoncello.com. All the stores that carry our brand are listed on there, as well as over 50 food and cocktail recipes. I mean, that's the beauty is the mixology of this product, which we'll discuss it in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, chefs have really embraced this as well. We did have a great restaurant, actually, your former location, Brooks Restaurant.
Right.
Chef Andy Brooks was doing a limoncello mussels dish for years that was just phenomenal.
There was a limoncello vinaigrette, right?
And then I was just going to say, and that led to another chef that we work with here in town, Chef Nick Minocchio, developed a Ventura limoncello vinaigrette, which we ended up bottling as a product. It's available in a handful of stores here in town. So it's it's a great marinade or just a salad dressing, but it's got just great local flavors, you know, the local honey, local olive oil, and Ventura Limoncello, of course.
Yeah, I can definitely see how your product works. it's so fresh and natural tasting, and just, I mean, I feel like I'm eating, feel like I'm drinking blood orange right now. And then the limoncello was the same thing. You feel like you're just having a lemon. It's just so pure and clear. It's just, I think it's wonderful.
It's so fruit forward.
Yeah.
And so I don't think, I mean, palate cleanser isn't as descriptive, I think, as a digestive, but it truly is. I mean, my mouth is so refreshed right now, and coming off of a big Italian meal and having this afterwards would be just dreamy, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And you know, holidays coming up, it's you know, Italian traditions are basically Christmas Eve's fish seven ways, seven courses of fish. Oh, wow. This will just finish that off quite well.
It would. So the one thing I would just go back just a couple steps was when you were talking about this guild. I found the guild address through your website. Mm-hmm. So that was
Ventura Limoncello, LIMONCELLO.com. But the guild's much easier. It's CA for California, DSP for Distilled Spirits, .org. Because it's an org,
right? And if anyone is interested in just thinking about this sort of not having a tasting room is something that wineries have fought for successfully. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, they've got a big lobby. Brewers are catching on to that, yes. but it's the same kind of thing that it's almost the laws are almost built against smaller. Organizations, just because they didn't have the lobbying or the organization, and now it's becoming, all of these places are starting to become organized and a force to be reckoned with, and just leveling the playing field for
everyone.
That's
the key, leveling the playing field, so that, you know, we have a chance to survive, and we have a chance to build our brand. You know, when another state can have a tasting room and generate cash, they take that cash and put it into their marketing into other places.
Right.
You know, it's just from a business standpoint, it just makes sense. It's not just about me getting fat and happy. It's about me building this brand and sharing the love of Ventura all over our nation and beyond.
Right.
Well, I think you're doing a fine job of that so far.
Thanks, Joey.
And these are delicious, too. I've been kind of quiet this whole time, but this has been...
I've been watching.
This is the most limoncello I've had, and especially orange cello I've had, I don't know, maybe... in my life, but I mean, I'm just enjoying the moment, and these are just so tasty. I mean, this beats the homemade stuff that we made, like, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was, and we still have some sitting in our shelf somewhere. You know, this is, I'm going out and getting one and just dumping out the rest of it.
There you go. Well, we do a lot of tasting events, and people say, oh, well, I make limoncello at home. I'm like, oh, great. What do you use for a base alcohol? And they usually say, well, vodka. Good, you're making lemon vodka.
That's a lemon flavored vodka.
You're making a lemon drop in a bottle.
Very good. Looks like we're coming up on a break. All right. So we're going out.
Yeah, we're
going
to come back, and we're going to do one of those recipes we were kind of hinting at earlier.
Right. So we're going to mix a little beer cocktail, something that James introduced me to or mentioned to me a couple of years ago, and we're just now getting a chance to go forward with it, I guess.
Sounds good. We'll be back with Happy Hour, Joby and Curtis.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate that.
Hi, I'm Curtis Taylor, and I co-host a radio show called Happy Hour, and I wanted to tell you about a great designated driver service called We're Driving. As you might have imagined, I really enjoy having a good time, but before I do, I always make sure I have a designated driver, and that's why I use We're Driving after every show. We're Driving is so easy to use. You go out, you have fun, and We're Driving gets you and your car home safe and sound. It really is that easy. This is how it works. We're Driving sends out a pair of drivers to meet you at your car when you're ready to go home. One of those drivers then drives you and your car home. Visit WeirdDriving.com. That's WereDriving.com. Or call 805-421-9706 for rates and to schedule your pickup time. And do me a favor. When you make your reservation, tell them you heard about We're Driving on Happy Hour. Oh, and don't forget to tip your drivers. Cheers.
It is the last call for for alcohol. So we're back with James from Ventura Limoncello. And boy, we just got done with a couple mini shots and tasters of the original.
Tasters. We don't shoot our
No shooters. No shooters. And then the Blood Orange. And it's just Orange Cello then is the proper name. So earlier we were talking about a beer cocktail before the break. And so at the opening of Surf Brewery just a couple of years ago, I met James and we just started talking. He said, you know, you've got to try this a Hefeweizen with the limoncello. And I thought, boy, that sounds kind of odd. And he just kept talking about it. And, you know, and then, you know, it's what do you see in a glass now in any sports bar when they serve you a Hef?
A big wedge of lemon.
Right, a big wedge of lemon in it. And so then I started kind of thinking about it. Oh, this is so great. So where did you learn this cocktail?
You know, it was just one of those things. I like to play with it. I'm not a mixologist. I don't claim to be a mixologist or anyone who understands that. I basically create very simple things that anyone can make at home, like the Limosa I mentioned earlier, which is sparkling wine with a shot of Ventura Limoncello. And, you know, I'm not as geeky on the beer as you guys are, but I've learned to appreciate some good beers and have really learned the different styles. And lately, the past several years, Hefeweizens have really been a little more popularized. And so they've been served a lot more, and I've had a few. And I noticed that they had very citrus undertones to them. And I thought, well, you know, I'm sure that with the craft breweries going on, there's going to be beer cocktails coming up soon. And I'm sure some people are going to be working on that. Well, with these citrus undertones, I would just said, why not try a shot of the limoncello in with the Hefeweizen? And I did it, and it was, I thought, really, really good. So I started pouring it out a few places. People enjoyed it. I did a Bock Fest a couple winters ago down in L.A., the Bock Fest in L.A., and I was invited because I've done other events with the same promoter, and I said, well, why are you inviting me to a beer festival with my limoncello? And he's like, well, because it's good, and everyone loves it. And I go, yeah, but it's a beer festival. I said, if you can find a Hefeweizen that's going to be there and put me next to them, I will commit and come. But they got to be open to me mixing this Limonweizen, as I've termed it, coined it. And I was fortunate enough to be placed next to Golden Road, which is a great brewery in Los Angeles. Some good quality craft beers down there. And even he was a little skeptical, the rep there. I have to admit, his name eludes me now a couple of years later and many, many beers later. But we mixed it up, and he was like, damn, this is good. And so we started mixing it for the crowd, and it just went bananas. I mean, we just had people going gaga for this cocktail. And the Limoncello was born. It was a hit. So here we are. I've got a little, just a shot of Ventura Limoncello at the bottom of the glass, topped off with a Hef. Salute.
Very good.
Oh, yeah, that works really well.
And one of the things on the backside's like a Bavarian style where there's a little more pronounced banana and everything in there, that this lemon and the banana, it
really works.
Right,
it really works.
And this, it's almost like a smoothie. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, if I could just put some ice in there, maybe mix it up too, but no, this is delicious.
If I was going to make this at home, I put One shot of limoncello, and then pour my beer over it.
Pour your 12 ounces on top.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Or 16 if you want.
Or 16 if you're up to that. Yeah, if you want to dilute a little bit, sure.
No. two shots to 16.
Did you notice that the limoncello just did to kind of take the carbonation down a little bit?
Yeah, it did.
Smooth out the beers. I guess you could say it almost put it on nitro, you know, for lack of a better way.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never done a cocktail, I guess, and I've never noticed that throwing, except for maybe something that like a shot of Jaeger.
I was going to say, well, how many Jaeger bombs have you done?
A Jaeger bomb, and then that'll
that
obviously
makes it more carbonate.
That'll obviously carbonate because it's releasing all of it. But right now, the chemical reaction is it's kicking the carbonation out of it.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, this is taking our alcohol level.
It's taken up just a notch. I mean, you're adding 29%, but overall, so you've got your beer at, what, 8, and your 29 shot, and do the math. I don't know. What are you at? 10?
Yeah, this is only 5.5. So
yeah, so yeah, we got a near beer and and a distilled spirit.
Yeah, and we were talking about the orange cello and saying maybe it would go better with like a Belgian wit.
With a Belgian wit for sure. You know, like we were saying earlier, it takes some of those commercial beers like Shock Top or Blue Moon and makes them very drinkable. For those right. who like their orange side.
Yeah, when your neighbor comes over with their craft beer and then they leave you with a 12-pack of Blue Moon or Shock Top.
Yeah, just grab a bottle.
Then you go, okay, I know how to spice this one
that's
up
right.
here.
You can make that very drinkable with some orange cello.
Very good.
Yeah, what are some of the other drinks? You were talking about tequila earlier, margaritas.
Yeah, the margaritas really are obvious. Fantastic. I mean, you know, we have a couple local margaritas. There's a locally imported tequila here in Ventura County called Alquimia Tequila. Wonderful stuff, all organic, also gold medal winner, San Francisco World Spirits. He's done a great job, Dr. Adolfo there. So we developed two margaritas with him, one with his Blanco and our Limoncello. We call that the 101 margarita. Mm. And then with his Reposado and the Ventura Orange Cello, we call that the 805. Mm. And they're just phenomenal margaritas. You know, the key to both of those is actually the Alquimia margarita mix, which is kind of a proprietary mix that he makes, but it's on the website that you can get to, you know, it's lime juice, orange juice.
Yeah, it's all fresh lime juice. All fresh
orange,
juices. Agave nectar.
Agave nectar for sweetener and things like that. So
you'll never drink the bottled stuff again if you drink that.
It's really good. And it's so easy to make at home. I mean, it's really not difficult to do that. As I mentioned, lemon drops are just crazy good. The California lemon drop, we call it, using Hangar One Buddha's Hand, which is an amazing Citron vodka out of Alameda. Mm-hmm. The Buddha's Hand Citron is a very special piece of fruit that Hangar One has done a great job with. So it's a real, just a man's lemon drop, as I like to call it, because it's pretty much all booze. It's equal parts nice. Ventura Limoncello and Hangar One shaken. That's it. It's just
sounds
crazy
good. To me.
Good. It goes with gin. It goes with rum. It goes with scotch. I mean, the orange cello, we have orange blossom. With a nice bourbon, mixed with bourbon and bourbon and Coke and orange cello. I mean, something that simple, a little orange blossom cocktail.
Yeah. In your experimenting, have you ever done something that just didn't work?
What didn't work? I can't say because I think of the flavors before I just mix them. I can't really say I've just thrown stuff in a glass and said, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, think about pear vodka. Yeah, it's just a few brands that make a pear vodka. Right. Grey Goose makes one. Smirnoff makes one. One of our actually earliest cocktails was the Paratini, we called it. And it was Ventura Limoncello and pear vodka and white cranberry juice.
Oh, wow.
When we get to summertime, we'll push that a little more. Definitely not a winter cocktail.
And these cocktails, when you were talking about on your website, you can find all these
recipes on the website. Okay. We just, for our holiday season, our holiday cocktail is our hazelnut espresso martini. Mm. They get nice and warm. Nice. We make that with our Ventura Limoncello Crema, hazelnut espresso vodka from Crater Lake, a very good craft distillery out of Southern Oregon. They're doing great stuff up there. Their hazelnut espresso vodka is outstanding. And just some, you know, fresh brewed espresso. Just mix that up. Tasty good.
It does. That sounds.
That does sound really good.
That might be my my new Christmas morning drink right there, because I think I could go for that one too. This is delicious, and I'm looking forward to having another taster here in just a little bit. I'm about out of my beer right now, but before we get going, and just want to say thank you to James.
Oh no, thank you guys. Really appreciate the time.
James. Let us know your website one more time.
It's Ventura Limoncello, LIMONCELLO.com. And if you search Facebook for Ventura Limoncello, two words there, please like us.
Awesome. And we can find all the recipes and
over
more
50
about
food and cocktail recipes and all the locations you can find our brand are listed on the website.
Yeah, spread it around. Spread the wealth around. So I got a couple calendar events coming up. Just to remind everyone that next week is an off week, so we won't be in on that time. But coming back into January 3rd, we have AJ Stoll from Figaro Mountain Brewery, and he's the brewmaster up there. He's going to come down and talk about some of his beers. You got a favorite from Figaro?
I like the Davy Brown, and then of course the Hoppy Poppy is definitely a staple.
He was the They've got a special place in my heart, in that was one of the in the arc of craft beer, where you start off mild and then you go crazy hoppy and then you come back down and into well-rounded beers. Their Paradise Road Pilsner is one of my favorites, and it kind of changed me a little bit too, and just like, okay, I can enjoy some really well-rounded, just incredibly balanced beer. So I'm super stoked for AJ to come on. And then we've got a date open, so who knows what we're going to do. But then back on January 17th is Cider Talk. And Joby, you know a little bit about what's happening here.
Yeah, we're going to have Michael George from Crispin and Fox Barrel, so that'll be really cool. And that kind of makes me think of your limo.
Well, we already mixed a cocktail with Crispin.
Yeah, I was going to say, Crispin has an incredible catalog that you kind of fold out, and they have all these cocktails with Crispin and whiskey, Crispin and other beers, and it's just going to be really fun. And I didn't realize you had a
yeah.
Crispin
we did an event with we did an event last summer in Calabasas, the Malibu Calabasas Wine and Spirits Festival, and we were just happened to be next to each other and mix up some great Crispin cocktails.
Crispin apple cider and limoncello.
Actually, orange cello.
Orange cello, very nice. So apple orange. So that'll be fun to really. I think we all kind of think of ciders, and we really don't know what we're thinking of as a consumer. It's like, oh, cider, that's just whatever. It's just sweet. It's just this or just that. But there's a whole array, a whole portfolio of ciders out there that are, they have barrel-aged ciders and blackberry pear and just cool stuff.
And I'm one of them, too. If it's a choice between a cider and a beer, I'll always go to a beer. But so this is much like limoncello here.
Ciders are great. When you spend any time in England and you walk into a pub, you learn to appreciate the cider.
That's going to be something to look forward to as well down there. So, I'm trying to think what time it is here. It's almost 8 o'clock. So that means it must be, getting close to midnight somewhere out there in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
And so as the sun is crawling across the time zone's crawling across, I don't know. We're kind of in our own little world here in the studio. So I don't know what's happening outside.
That's fine. Well, we're still, everything's still there, so we'll be good. But we'll definitely like to, we'll wish everybody a happy holiday season. James, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone. Cheers.
Happy holidays. And
thanks for joining us on Happy Hour. I'm Joby.
And I'm Curtis. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, James. Oh, thank you, guys. You got to find the right
tool. See, the Golden Rule is nice.
Patriotic slam, fight, right, like feeling, pretty sight. It's the end of Master Banks birthday party.